Hey there, Brainiacs. Welcome to the Beaker Report podcast, the science show for the average Joe. I'm your host, Steve Berg.
And I'm Caleb Schuler.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Prepare to get your minds blown. Or not.
Yeah, probably not. No, but really, prepare. All right, here we are. We're back with another episode of the Beaker Report.
Number 34, because I keep track now. So,
yeah, I've got a, about 2 o'clock on a Saturday, and I've got a, what they call a blacksmith. I don't know if you can
see. Oh, is that like a Smittix and a Guinness going?
Yeah, Smithwick's. This is some Smithwick's Red Ale and a Guinness.
Nice.
It's half and half. I've never tried it.
Yeah, those are good. I have, I don't know, Sierra Nevada IPA. There you go.
We were at, before the podcast, we were doing some grocery shopping. And we went to Costco, and we were in the beer aisle, and I was deciding what beer I wanted to get.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, I was eyeballing the Sierra Nevada. Costco has, like, they've got like bigger packs of beer. Like this one came in an 18 pack of Guinness, Smithwick's, and Harp.
Oh, sweet.
And they had a Sierra Nevada one with like Sierra Nevada IPA, Sierra Nevada, whatever. There was like 4 beers from Sierra Nevada. And I was eyeing it up because I like Sierra Nevada too. And the guy was like, I decided not to grab it and I walked to the next one. And the guy was like, I was going to judge you if you picked that one out. I was like, what?
What the hell?
He was like, I don't like Sierra Nevada. And I was like, I like Sierra Nevada. Like, yeah. I like it better on draft.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's I like Sierra Nevada. It's good.
Yeah.
It's one of the, everybody's like into IPAs now. I don't understand the whole IPA craze.
It's the new movement,
these days,
man.
But
IPAs.
I know. It's crazy. It's like you never heard about an IPA before. And then all of a sudden, like, that's all everybody wants to drink.
It's like sometimes people just like to embrace how not good tasting stuff is to make them seem like they know what they're talking about. I feel like that's the IPA movement.
I know, it's weird. But Sierra Nevada makes the one IPA that I can, like, that I actually kind of like.
This one's an IPA. This is a the Spring Seasonal Brut IPA. Extra dry. But it's pretty good.
Nice. Yeah. Sweet. But yeah, we were at Costco. We've been doing month grocery shopping for like a whole month.
What? That's insane. I need to start doing that. I go every week and hate it.
I know. We actually save quite a bit of money. Like we save over $100 a month. Yeah. So
damn.
Joey sits down at the beginning of every month and she like plans a menu for the whole month. And so every day we have what we're going to have for dinner. I've been doing, this is a whole nother topic. We can talk about it afterwards, but I've been doing like some extreme, fasting during the week.
Ooh.
So it's kind of helpful that she doesn't have to really plan for anything other than dinner. Cause I don't eat throughout the whole day.
Dang.
So that probably helps us save a little bit of money, but yeah, so we've been doing these like month long shopping trips. Well, not month long shopping trips, but shopping for the whole month.
Yeah.
We just spend a month in the grocery store. We never leave.
So crazy.
Yeah. So, but it's been pretty cool. Like we just go once at the beginning of the month and then you're set. And then she goes like every couple of weeks for little filler items that you need to get here and there. But
yeah,
it ends up saving quite a bit of money.
That's pretty awesome. I cannot plan that far ahead.
Me neither.
I'm like, half the time, Hallie will text me during the day, and she'll be like, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, it's 4 o'clock, and I haven't even thought about dinner yet. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I should have thought this
That's
through.
Like, she shows me the menu, and I'm just like, I look at it for 2 seconds. I'm like, yep, looks good to me. Like,
yeah, that works. Whatever.
So does Hallie make the majority of the dinners in your guys' house?
Probably most of the time. I don't know. It's getting closer to 50-50 now. I've been starting.
Oh, that's cool.
Once the weather gets nicer, I'll grill some more, so it's not as bad.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. The other day, the only thing I had to grill was bacon because it was so nice. I wanted to grill, but all I had was bacon, so I did that. But it turned out tasty.
If you get thick cut, it's kind of like grilling.
Yeah, I mean, you turn the grill on. It takes like 3 seconds. I don't know. But yeah, we kind of split it. My meals are not like exciting, though. It's like I'll make tacos and I'll make some pizzas. Yeah. And like just typical food.
I do like zero of the cooking. Dang. Like every now and then I'll make breakfast.
Oh, I love some breakfast.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it.
I've been getting more into it though.
Yeah, yeah. I used to cook a lot more back when I like cooked for a living. I used to work in a kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
So I knew a little bit, but now like the only thing I can do, like you said, is like grilling and breakfast. That's pretty much my two areas.
Those are the two best spots to be in, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been trying to get more into it, though. Like I started dabbling in like different recipes and kind of like adding my own flair to things. I've been doing some shepherd's pies every once in a while.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know, man.
We make this one dish called fish pie.
Which, sounds awful.
First of all, it just sounds crazy. Yeah, it sounds crazy. Disgusting. And it's one of those dishes that looks horrible. Like if you just look at it,
can't do it.
It just like it looks like this plate of mash nastiness. But if you eat it, it's delicious. It has like two or three different types of fish in it, like chunks of fish in it. And it's essentially like a creamier like chicken pot pie like filling, basically, but with fish instead. But my big hang up with it is they call it pie, but it doesn't have crust. There's no crust.
Yeah, in my book, that's bullshit.
That's a casserole.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You just throw it in the oven and cook it. Yeah, put pie crust on it at least like a top, maybe. Yeah. I'll give it to you. But
yeah.
Dude, no, I don't know, man.
Every time she makes it, I was like, babe, that's not pie.
Yeah, stop
that's
calling it that. Just call it fish gunk. Pan casserole.
Yeah. But it is good. I'll give her that.
I don't eat fish a whole lot, dude. I just don't. I don't know.
Really?
Not into it.
Are you like afraid of the, you just don't like fish, or are you afraid of like the,
I'm afraid of the mercury.
Ecological impasse. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just not big into it. Like I'd rather just eat turkey and beef and whatever.
Really?
But we'll do it. Once the weather gets nicer, we'll probably do it more because I don't know, but if it's more fresh, it's definitely better. Like if you go on like fishing trips in the ocean, you can catch something, bring it back and cook it and eat it that day. It's like, I don't know. It's like that connection with, I guess, hunters have with their own food and fishing. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat, but I don't know. Tennessee. I don't know if there's such thing as fresh seafood here. So,
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I've always loved seafood, but I'm getting like more and more scared of it just because of all of the pollution and crap that those things are probably getting exposed to and eating and stuff like that.
Oh, dude,
so,
everything you eat is like, exposed to something, right?
I know. You always look at the store, though, and you see wild-caught versus farmed. And I've like read so much bad stuff about farm-raised, but now I'm like, farm-raised is probably almost better these days with all the crap that's in the ocean.
At least they're not getting like fertilizer dumped on them and shit, right? Like
oil spills and heavy metals and plastic and
I don't know a whole lot about it, but they always talk about like mercury and fish, and I don't know, I guess, anything about that, but I don't know, fish are supposed to be good for you, so whatever, man, a little mercury here and there, whatever.
Well, I think one problem is like with bottom feeder fish. Because if heavy metals get into the water, then they just sink and bottom feeders get exposed to them. So like, you hear people,
those fish are stupid.
Like Joe Rogan before us talked about, he got like arsenic, like levels of arsenic from eating sardines.
He's just eating cans of sardines all the time, though, man. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah, of course, like, the average person's not going to eat that many of them and have that problem, but...
No, dude. I will eat tuna fish.
I used to love sardines,
though. I never had sardines.
Really? I'm not big into it. Like, the big thing I didn't like about them is, like, you can get them in the can where they're still whole, except for, like, the head. So they've got, like, bones and stuff in it.
But they're just, like, little tiny bones. They don't really count, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I've never liked crunchy stuff like that where it's, like, chomping on a bone kind of grosses me out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like when you get a... You know, like, you can eat chicken wings sometimes and, like, bite the ligament or whatever.
Oh,
and
I don't like
kinda
that either.
Crunchy. Ugh. Yeah, I don't like that either.
No, I'm the guy that goes and everyone orders wings, and I'm like, I'll take the boneless.
See, I love traditional, but, yeah, I don't, like, I try to avoid those parts.
Some people, dude, I don't know. I feel like maybe I wasn't indoctrinated into chicken wing eating at an early age, but some people just, like, demolish the shit out of everything except for the bone.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you eating? Cartilage? Like, what is going on here?
I'm pretty much like that, but I avoid the ends with the cartilage.
Yeah.
Like, I'll eat most of it, but I don't try and, like, get every last little piece.
Dude, it's wild.
Yeah. But it's crazy.
Sardines. Dude. Yeah.
But yeah, man. So, how's the week been going?
It's been good. It's a short week for us. We did, what, was it Monday when we talked?
Yeah. So we're back, and yeah, we didn't even have a full week in between. So.
No. Yeah, this week's been, what happened this week? Dude, I don't even know.
Writing.
Yep.
Let me guess,
dude,
writing.
More writing. I would just, like, randomly touch stuff in the lab so I didn't have to write. That's pretty much the bulk of what I did. Just like, I need to do something.
I did a lot of engineering in the lab this week.
I'd rather do that. That sounds so much more fun.
Yeah. I was pulling apart. So, like, we have, like, there's, like, a difference between a pulse generator and, like, the stimulus isolation unit.
Of course there is.
So there's, like, a standalone unit that, like, it's called a pulse generator, and it just, like, you can choose the frequency that you stimulate and, like, how long and, like, all of the specifics of, like, your stimulation, and then it sends that signal to a stimulus isolation unit.
Yeah.
And that is what actually generates the, like, the voltage that you're going to be putting out or whatever. And it's just a big box or a small box with a bunch of batteries in it.
Oh, like, I saw that. You posted a picture of that. It's just a bunch of, like, D cells in series.
Yeah. Yep. There was 12 of them in series. And so I was testing those to see if, because I was having a problem with my stimulator. And the last thing that it could possibly be was the batteries. Mm-hmm. So I pulled it apart and got the multimeter out and tested those. We have two stimulus isolation units, and I've tested them before in the other one. And both times, I've still not gotten, like, both times they checked out and were fine, so I still haven't gotten to build a set of those batteries. I've been itching to do that.
You just wait for stuff to break so you can rebuild it.
Yeah. So, that was fun. And I got the, I told you last time I was doing... getting the XVivo setup going.
Yeah.
So I can do experiments in the dish. And finally got that up and running. Got some successful data by the end of the week. And really got some good results. I'm back in there with... I now have some hope again that, you know, I've been talking about this big discovery. And it was looking pretty bleak for a while. But now there's some real good evidence that we know why... we didn't see what we wanted to see.
Dude.
And so next week I'm going to be doing some tests, and next week I think will be the final decider if it's real or not.
Dude, I feel like your past, like, few weeks have been like if it was a graph, it'd just be like up, down, and then it comes up even higher, and then it goes down.
Yeah.
It's just, like, back and forth. Like, I did it.
Oh,
I got it. No, no, it's over. It's completely ruined. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster ride for sure. And that's what sucks, because it's like when you got something like that could be so awesome, like if it worked out, like when you do the experiment that it kind of hinges on, it's like... a real emotional roller coaster. You're like, oh damn, kind of crushed, and then you're like, you were like, I never gave up. So like, we did the initial experiment in the dish in someone else's lab.
Yeah,
and they don't have the best equipment for it, so it was like pretty much like you either see it or you don't. And and then we did the experiment and didn't see the result we were hoping for. And at that point, I was like, oh, like, it's all over.
It's not even worth living anymore.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. But there's, and we talked about this, we touched on it a little bit, that there's such a difference between in vivo and ex vivo.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And how big of a difference temperature makes, like in a biological system. You've got all these enzymes that are working difference. And they're temperature dependent. Yeah. And so what's really cool is I explained to you the potentiation thing that I see, where I'm doing this repetitive stimulation in the wild type, the force increases each time I stimulate. Yeah. In the dish, so I finally got the dish set up, and then I started doing some trial runs with wild type. And I was originally just going to do force frequency curves to confirm that I've got the dish set up well and things look good. But then I decided to try one and just do the repetitive technique. I did it, and there was absolutely no potentiation. Something that's super repetitive, replicable each time I do it in vivo is completely gone in the dish.
Well, that's crazy.
So I was like, boom. And that's what the big eureka moment, it's all dependent on this mechanism that causes potentiation. Oh, yeah. So if potentiation's just gone in the dish, then it's possible. That's why I didn't see what I was hoping to see when I did the first dish experiment. Okay. So now, so now the next step is to basically set up a way to keep everything at physiological temperature, keep it as close to 37 degrees Celsius. Yep. Right when I take the muscle out, I'm going to take the muscle out while the mouse is anesthetized, instead of doing euthanasia first and then taking it out. So that way the muscle never deviates from 37 degrees Celsius. It's going to stay there while I do the whole experiment. And hopefully I see, like I said, potentiation in the wild type again. And then hopefully in the HD, I see what I'm hoping I've been seeing in vivo.
That's wild.
So next week's the real deciding moment.
When does it happen next week? You're going to live stream it on Instagram so we can watch it?
Yeah. You're going to see my face. It's not going to happen. You'll see my face and like almost about to cry. I think it's going to be either Monday or Tuesday. Sweet. So pretty early in the week, I should nice. Have an idea. I've got a litter that's hitting 12 weeks, which is end stage. And I think there's a handful of wild type and a handful of HD. So I think I'm going to start I'm going to like tread slowly into the water. I'm going to get the temperature working and start with a wild type and just hope that I see potentiation again. And then if that goes well, then I'll try out the HD.
Nice. Just got to go for it.
We'll see.
Dude, sweet. I'll look forward to I guess whatever happens, man. We'll have to see.
Yeah. So I'm always busy in the lab and stuff, and then when I come home, I basically eat dinner and then come home, and I need to be studying for the MCAT, so I don't have a lot of free time during the week, and then a lot of times I'm busy on the weekend, so it's far and few between when I actually see my mom.
Yeah.
And so I try to make a habit of like calling her at least once or twice throughout the week just to catch up, see what's going on. But this whole time throughout the whole experiment, since I've been trying to figure this out, I always call her, and it's like the same thing I've been telling you. It's like, yes, I finally figured it out. And then like the next time I'll call her like, oh, no, she's it's like, over. It's I'm done.
My whole career is ruined.
Yeah.
Dude.
I thought I was going to be big time, and now it's all over.
Completely awful. Yeah, dude, I get so, I don't know, dude, I get so, like, caught up in my work and stuff that I oftentimes don't even think to call or talk to anyone. Like, Hallie will text me, and I'll maybe text her back, but most of the time I'm just, like, doing my shit, and then before it's over, I'm at home, and I'm eating dinner, and I'm falling asleep, or reading, or whatever it is I'm trying to do, and Yeah, dude. Yeah, most people don't even know what the fuck I'm doing half the time. My mom's probably going to listen to this and be like, Caleb, you need to call home just like David calls his mom. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, all right.
She thinks my name's Dave.
Yeah, McGurkin. No, that's just what the thing is. Yeah. No, she knows you're Steve.
That's hilarious. So I've been playing PUBG, as I talked about before, and my username on there is Dave McGurkin. And so everybody gets on, they're like, what's up, Dave? And I'm like, what's
going on? That shit tripped me out for a long time. Like, when we first met, I'm like, is his name Dave? Yeah. I thought his name was Steve. Like, what is going on here? Maybe it's David? I don't know.
Yeah.
David McGurkin, I guess. I don't know.
His middle name's Steve.
Dude, that was, yeah.
It's pretty fun. I was, when I was younger and I was like coming up with my online crap, like, I was like, maybe I shouldn't put my real name on the internet, like when I'm doing all this stuff. Yeah. And then I had a buddy that was just a complete goofball. And he would like wear the most ridiculous stuff, like on purpose, because he was just making fun of stuff. So he would have like a mullet and wear like jean shirts and like, or jean pants and like no shirt with like a cut off jean jacket, like, and he'd be like, I'm Dave McGurkin, and he would just be a complete goofball. So I stole Dave That's McGurkin good. From him and I made like it my it. Online It's a My good online one. Name.
It
yeah.
even confused me because I was looking at you when I was talking, and that's why I said Dave or David, because like on Discord right here it says Dave, and I was like, I just read it and I'm like, that's not right. What the hell am I doing?
No, I thought maybe she was looking at Instagram and just like thought my name was
she
Dave.
She might.
Like,
I don't
you
know.
Do that podcast with Dave?
That'd be really funny. I forgot that is your Instagram name, isn't it?
Yeah. It's literally all of my online stuff is David McGurkin.
That's hilarious. So, I don't know. You had me confused for a hot minute.
I was trying to protect myself if I ever like run for like political office or anything. When the FBI tries to go back and figure out all the crappy, like crazy stuff I've done, they won't be able to find
it. We don't have anything on Steve, but we have this David McGurkin.
Seems like he's very similar to this guy, but it's kind of confusing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like if you ever get arrested and you have to put like your, what do they call those? Your nicknames or whatever.
Your pseudonyms or
Dave
whatever.
McGurkin, David McGurkin, Mr. McGurkin. Like, Jesus, dude, this guy is weird.
This guy's crazy.
Dude. Speaking of weird stuff, Hallie and I watched on Netflix the Ted Bundy tapes. Have you seen that?
Mm. I've caught little bits and pieces because Joey watched it, but I was playing PUBG or something.
Dude,
so.
it's pretty interesting. It's really short, though. It's not as long as it could have been, but that dude is out of his mind. I had no idea about all that stuff that happened like in the 70s. Like I always heard the name, like, whatever, Ted Bundy. And I was like, oh, that sounds like Al Bundy from the TV show. That's funny. And that's pretty much all I ever thought of it. Netflix is good for like weird ass fucking psychopath killer shows, man.
We watched that the one with the girl and the pedophile dude.
Oh, I didn't watch that one yet.
I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's all over
the one
the
where
internet.
Like, what the hell was it called?
This guy was crazy, and I forget his name too. But like he seduced the parents of this daughter,
yeah,
of the girl.
That's what I heard.
And he was like for years, like sleeping in this girl's bed because it was like his treatment for this mental disorder. What? And then like eventually he kidnapped her, and like she was gone for like over a year, and her family was just like they didn't want to say anything because he was like. Saying he was going to blackmail them and all this stuff. It was the craziest story.
And he seduced the parents, and the parents were like doing weird shit with him too, right?
Yeah, both of them, yeah.
Dude, I'm trying to look it up right now.
It was awful. A horrific story. Joey and I were both looking at each other like...
Abducted in plain sight?
I don't care.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That one's crazy. If you want to watch it and be completely disturbed, but like interested at the same time, that's the the one for you.
I don't know, man. When there's kids involved, like it's always weird. I'm like, if you're murdering
and
like,
he had,
people, I could probably watch that a little bit more.
Yeah, murdering adults. Who cares about that?
No. Just, I mean, at least they're not kids, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, but there is, like, it's a different level of just horrificness. Like, for some reason, kids should
be
off
limits.
They're
like animals, man. They're just innocent, you know? They're just little
I know.
Dummies.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like, what sadistic, crazy person, like, targets children like that?
Dude, I've been thinking about this. Not that specifically, because that's kind of weird. Why would a fuck would I be thinking about that?
yeah, sure, yeah.
I've been thinking, like, so at the end of, like, the Bundy tapes or whatever they call it, he gets, spoiler alert, they put him in the electric chair or something like that. They kill him.
Yeah. How dare you?
I don't know. I really hate to ruin something that happened in like 1981 for everybody. But like, it's really weird. Like, I had like this weird thought, like, because people were outside like cheering on this dude to get put to death, which I agree, he probably should be put to death. But the fact that people were like outside with posters, like said like Fry, Bundy Fry, and like today is Fry Day, and like all this weird shit, like cheering on the death of someone. I'm just like, all right, so like maybe like I had this brief moment when I started to contemplate, like, is the death penalty really the best way to go? Like, because something's obviously wrong with this dude's like mental faculties. Like the normal guy, like maybe if we had a way to fix this crazy person, he'd be like, oh my God, like, yeah, you probably should put me to death because I'm crazy or something. Like, but I don't know. It's not normal.
Yeah, it's like, and you hear certain neuroscientists talking about this, that like, there's like, we don't understand enough to figure out what gets a person to that point. Like, what are all the things, all the variables that have to be in place? What are all the things that have to happen in that person's life to lead to something like that happening? And they usually end up saying, like, it's probably like a bunch of chemicals and all these processes eventually that cause something like that to happen, and it's like a pathology. And someday, once we get advanced enough, we'll probably look back on this stuff and realize we just had a lack of understanding, and the way we went about handling it is probably not the best thing ever.
You mean like
but,
the Salem witch trials where we just started killing people?
Yeah. And there's, I mean, there's things like that all throughout history. I mean, people used to go and watch hangings
and
stuff,
man,
like
they
that.
They still do that.
Like,
Alan, like,
you
the
know,
Middle
they
East?
Did that in the public circle.
They stone people and do all kinds of like public executions out there still.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, it's hard to have compassion for someone like that, right? Like a Ted Bundy or a John Wayne Gacy,
that's
or all these
me
weird,
up,
crazy.
For a second, I was like, "Oh man, that's kind of fucked up." And then I came back and I was like, "Oh no, yeah, this guy's an ass. Like, we should definitely get rid of this guy from the earth."
I always think though, like, if you really want this guy to like pay for what he's done, putting him to death is almost the easy way out.
Right? I agree.
Yeah,
I used to think that too, but so, then I'd like get all like weird. I'd be like, "Why don't we just like put him in a prison cell and just like leave them there and just let them rot?" Like what is, like, is there a good way to make someone suffer? I don't, like, that sounds messed up, but
yeah. And it's almost like the whole idea of like being the bigger person, taking the higher road, like, just because they did this crazy thing, should we resort to doing that to them to get like vengeance? And like, will that ultimately make us feel better, and will that make it any better for the people who are the victims and stuff like that? Probably not.
That's,
they're probably not going to feel better. It's not going to make anything. It's not going to bring their loved one back or anything like that. So
yeah, there's like so there's something that happened recently, I think within this year, where this Navy SEAL, you made me think of this Navy SEAL, I guess he was in Afghanistan. I don't know. I have to look up the story. His name is Chief Eddie Gallagher, and he, I guess, killed a terrorist, but he wasn't like working when he did it. He just like went off post and killed this guy or something strange. I don't know the full story.
Jeez.
But now he's sitting in prison, I think, for killing like this known terrorist guy. And it's this idea of like, well, you can't just go and kill people just because you think they're bad. Like, yeah. That's what they do. Like, you can't be that. So this guy's sitting in prison, and there's this whole movement. Hashtag Free Eddie, trying to get him out of prison. I don't know the full story, so I can't really speak to it, but it just reminded me of that. And, like, in the military, they talk about that all the time. Like, you have, like, just because you're in war or you're fighting these crazy people, like, you can't become the crazy people. Like, there's several instances, like, in Vietnam where, like, whole units went apeshit and, like, killed a village. And,
oh, yeah. Yeah, there's crazy stuff about that, yeah. Yeah, it's like you can't be a armed vigilante, like, just because you're doing it for what seems like the right reasons, you're not going about it the right way necessarily. Like,
but the Punisher is pretty cool,
so
though,
there's
so.
A problem with that. Yeah, the Batman and stuff like that, everybody loves that.
Good stories.
Did you ever see that guy, they talked about it on Rogan, but he's like, he dresses up as a superhero, but he's like a trained mixed martial artist. I think he's like in Seattle or something like that. They have like wherever he does at the state that they do it, they have like agreed upon. I'm lacking a word here, but like agreed upon violence. Where like if you and I like verbally agree in the presence of a police officer that we're gonna
they just
have
let
a fight,
you go.
It's not illegal. Yeah,
that's a good rule. I appreciate that. If you're both
stupid
enough
to fight
each other, that's
cool. Yeah, so this guy goes around.
Cool.
Yeah, so this guy goes around and finds people doing stupid crap and, like, tries to put them in their place by, like, beating them up. And, he people usually agree to fight him because he just looks like this idiot in this, like, superhero costume. But he's, like, a trained MMA fighter. So, like,
arms.
You can see immediately, like, they go and they both agree to fight and, like, they start bobbing around and dancing around like they're about to fight. And then, like, the first thing the guy does is throw this powerful leg kick. And you can see the other guy is just like, oh,
like,
crap.
Oh, no.
Like, I already know.
He's like, never mind.
This guy knows something.
I don't want to fight. I don't.
That's always been the craziest thing to me, though, is, like, getting into a fight. Like, even if you, like, most people who decide to get into a fight, just, like, on the street or whatever, first of all, don't know anything about fighting or
I'm
how to fight.
I'm assuming they're drunk.
Like, they just think they do. Yeah, that's a big problem is alcohol. But like, even when I'm drunk, like, it's always been the dumbest idea to me to fight somebody you have no idea about when you're probably, like, not trained yourself either. Like, there's so many ways that that can go bad. It's just such a bad idea. Like, my whole life's mission has been to avoid, like, violence and, like, altercations, like,
that's
at all costs.
That's a good way to go about things, McGurkin.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, even if you end up, like, even if you could beat that person up, like, you just never know. Like, they might have a group of friends over here, or they might have a knife in their pocket or some weapon or something like that. You just have no idea what can happen once you start engaging in, like, an altercation with someone.
I don't know. I imagine there's no fair fight, right? There's, like, if someone tried to fight me, I would, I don't know. I always have, like, a knife. I always have something, so I would not want to fight. So I'm going to escalate it so I don't have to. Like, I don't want to get hurt. Like, I don't want to fight.
Yeah.
But if I have to, there's ways around it. So, but the best way is always to just, like, get the fuck out of there, man. Like, that's always the go-to.
Yeah. Of course, I always believe in defending yourself. Like, if you need to, if it comes down to it, do what you need to do to, like, protect yourself. But if you can, usually when a physical altercation is about to go down, there's clear telltale signs that it's about to go down, and there's some time to try and avoid that situation.
It's always something stupid. You could just be like, fuck, man. Yeah. Let's get out of here before this stupid idiot starts doing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always the people who, like, have the loudest mouths that end up finding themselves in those situations.
Yeah, when I was in the Navy, I used to have to, like, stop people from fighting, like, at bars. My buddies would be like, let's go, and, like, start pushing people. I'm like, oh, and then I would get kicked out for, like, because then I get sucked into it because I'm trying to separate. I don't know. It's just super annoying.
You're guilty by association.
I'm like, no, I didn't want to fight. I was just pushing him away. I'm like, oh, well, whatever.
Yeah. I'm trying to stop the
fight.
They're
like, no, you're not. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm tired anyway, so we probably should go home.
Guess we're going to the next bar.
Woo! Woo!
Yeah, that's just never been. I've never gotten a thrill. At least some people get a thrill out of it. They're like, oh, we're going to get in this fight.
There's like
or whatever,
one dude I was in the Navy with, and he always wanted to do that. I'm like, ah. Like,
it was crazy.
Like, I can't let you get beat up, so I have to like try and solve this.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah, if I was with a group of friends and there's like one, like the way I would handle it is like if somebody started a fight with one of my friends, I would defend them. But if my friend's being an idiot and they start a fight for no reason that's not justified, then you're on your own, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm out of here. I'll try and stop you, but if you want to start a fight because you're an idiot,
I think that's a good boundary to set up beforehand. Like, hey, dude, I know you like to like push people around for fun. However, tonight, if you do that, you're on your own. And if you get kicked in the head, that's on you. And I'm just going to chill over here, drink my beer. I'm not going to help you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. But usually I find myself on a Saturday night just chilling at home.
We don't do anything like that.
I don't ever have to worry about that too much.
It's a young man's game, dude. That's like a 18 to 22-year-old thing or something. I don't know.
Dude, or just like overgrown man.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those for sure. They're all over the place.
Yeah, people with like big old beer guts that have some weird insecurity and they want to like prove themselves to people or something like that.
I'm not down with that. I don't even know the last time like I went to a bar or anything like that or a club. Have I even ever been to a club? I don't even know. I don't know what people do.
I don't usually go to clubs, but I've been to
The Mask.
A gay club in Dayton, and I've been there a few times.
That was actually pretty fun. So. One time I went.
Yeah. Joey likes to dance, and I don't like dancing, but...
That's weird.
If I'm drunk enough
as a dancer
and she starts dancing... Nope, just a karaoke-er. I have zero moves on the dance floor.
I try to act like I do at weddings, and I just embarrass everybody, including myself.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I think that's a completely genetic thing. I don't think you just like if you either know how to dance or you don't. Like, there's no becoming a good dancer.
I just can't move. I don't know. Like, everything locks up. I'm like, God.
It's weird. It's awkward. Yeah.
Also, most of the time, I don't understand why people want to dance anyways. I'm like, what? Why? What?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I think there's like a certain amount of like reservation that you have that's almost like a mental block. So it doesn't allow you to be able to be good at dancing too.
That's what it is. Like you can't free yourself to feel the rhythm and feel the rhyme, you know?
Yeah. Which is weird because, like, I can, like, I play drums, right? So, like, I can, like, get into music and, like flow on the drums and have a groove and all that stuff. And so you would think that I could be a dancer, but...
No.
Nope. It just doesn't... There's a weird disconnect
there. Yeah, I don't know. When I played in a band...
I'm able to make the music for other people to dance, but I'm not able to dance to someone making music.
Yeah. It's like when you're playing the instrument, it's totally different. It's like you're a part of it. So it's like whatever you... Like guitar, no one cares. Like especially if you're in like a punk band or a hardcore... Like all you do is jump around like an idiot and you just get down and headbang and it's cool. But I guess... That type of music, there's no dancing to anyways, unless you're in a mosh pit, and then that's just stupid. Yeah. So,
I play some decent, like, our band, we play, some old school, like, funk type songs.
Oh, yeah, I like the funk.
So, you could dance to that stuff, and some people have before at our show, but...
I like, like my dad's band, like they did like classic rock and they had their own tunes and stuff they play. But my favorite part was always like the drunk, like 50-year-old woman.
Oh, yeah. That's the kind of dancing that that goes down.
I'm like,
at our shows
oh my
as well.
God,
that's
this lady's
good.
Out of her mind. And then there's like an equally drunk guy with her. They're just like getting down.
Oh yeah, there's some stupidity that happens. So we played at this one place here in the area. It's called Good Time Charlie's, and there was a guy there that had a cut off t-shirt, jean shorts, and work boots on. That was his fashion statement.
He probably should have had those sunglasses I always wear. That would have topped it off, man.
Yeah. Oh, dude. He would look great. But yeah, so he was out there and he was dancing. And like, next thing I know, I see him like on the ground, like in push-up position, but like jumping up and down. Like he was like getting down, dude. And like, clearly had one too many to drink.
I'm totally like, for it though, man. Like if I could get to that point, like I've never been drunk enough. Like you know what? I'm just going to go get dancing done on this. Like what?
Yeah.
Like I don't care. Just let me out there and dance. I don't know, dude, but a lot of those guys, like, well, not a lot, but I've seen a plenty of like dudes that are like, they show up on a Harley and just get wasted and they just start doing some weird shit. Dude, though,
that'll
like
happen.
I mean, like, my brother was in a band in Dayton once, and there's some drunk dude that's just, I don't know, they're always like by themselves too. They're just like spinning in circles and shit. And then he like started getting on stage. I just went up and I had to like kick him out. It was weird because I was just there hanging out and I was like, dude, you gotta leave. Like you can't be doing this. You're gonna ruin everything.
Yeah, you cannot invade the stage. If there's a band playing and you ever have a thought inside your mind, oh, that I'm gonna go on the stage, just don't. Just push that thought out of your mind. There's never a time where somebody that's not in the band should be going on the stage unless they're invited. Like if they're trying to make it like a fun part of the show,
that's cool.
But like, but like uninvited, just like on your own.
That's a good way to get your ass whipped by somebody.
Yeah.
Especially like after, like I know this is like, what is his name? Dimebag Daryl, when he got shot on stage in Columbus. Like, of course that's like a more mainstream band, but like, people think about that shit a lot now. Like when people start coming on stage, it's like, what are you doing? I've seen plenty of videos of someone trying to get on stage and just getting like a kick straight to the chest and just falling off or something stupid.
Yeah. I always like the videos when like some rapper or somebody's like performing on stage and somebody throws stuff, something. And then they like, it's like, you know, you hear the record, like, like everything just stops. And like, I was like, the rapper is like, who threw that? Like, they're gonna like get off stage and like go after him or something.
Dude, they got a persona. They gotta keep up, dude, you know.
Yeah That's hilarious. But yeah, so but like, back to dancing. That's like such an interesting that's like such an interesting thing, like in nature, like the evolutionary like
movement,
the evolutionary beginnings of dancing, because like we're not the only creatures that dance, and it's like a part of
who else
nature
is out there.
So a lot of birds, there's a lot of birds that have and even fish. So yeah, and that's why humans dance too. It's an evolutionary thing. It's peacocking in a sense to try and find a
hold on.
And,
you think that dude with the jean cutoffs was doing a mating dance?
There's yep. There's somebody out there that's looking at that and going, oh man, look at those boots with those short combination. And he's down there on his hands and knees. And
dude, I'm going to come to one of your shows in the summer dressed up like that. It's going to be so awesome.
Obviously, each person has their own take on what's going to attract a mate. Yeah. And they have, somebody might have a screw loose, so it might go awry. I'm not saying all forms of dancing out there is going to be equally successful.
No. That dude's definitely going to attract something.
Yeah, something.
There's going to be someone out there that's down.
But it's just interesting that, like, I don't think we're the first ones to figure dancing out and that it's like a thing. Like, it's such a weird thing. Like, how's that beneficial? Like, if you think about it, you know, evolutionary wise, like, there's no like survival benefit for being able to dance like with cool moves and stuff like that. But it's just like the ability to interest like the opposite sex of whatever species you
are.
It's
kind of weird. So during the Super Bowl last week, what's his name? Adam Levine? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was his thing and he was stripping essentially, but he was like doing some weird gyrating thing. And I was like, oh, this dude's like trying to get the girls to go crazy or something. And then, but then Hallie was sitting next to me and she goes, "What the fuck is that guy doing?" I was like, "That's to get the girls. Like, that works." And she goes, "No, no, it's not working." Yeah. I'm like,
"It does for some people." But she's pregnant and has a man already. True. So she's just looking at that like this guy's a fool. But I think it gets the young girls like that.
Yeah.
Just have nothing going. I don't know. I don't know who that works for, but it does work.
That's what I thought. I was like, this is definitely working. I mean, it's stupid, but I'm sure someone's like, ooh, look at how he moves or something stupid.
Yeah. The crazy thing about that, so I didn't watch the Super Bowl and I didn't watch the halftime show
communist?
Initially. But yeah. Dude, so like a week before the Super Bowl, somebody mentioned the Super Bowl. I was like, oh, there's a Super Bowl happening sometime soon. Like, so I didn't find out. And then I didn't find out who was playing until like the day before. I was like, who's playing in the Super Bowl?
Dude, with it, man.
But apparently, if you just guess that the Patriots are in it, you're probably like, there's like a 4 out of 5 chance that you're probably going to
like
be right.
Nine of the past 12 years or something stupid. So, yeah. Good guess.
Yeah. So, after the Super Bowl, I started seeing everybody on the internet talking crap about the halftime show. And I was like, it was awful.
It was pretty stupid.
You know, it's always going downhill and all this stuff. So I went and watched it. And so I saw the Adam Levine gyrating. But the one thing I noticed is he had a couple guitar solos. And this is
news
to me.
I didn't know he could play either. I was kind of shocked by that.
Yeah. I am a little bit skeptical, though, because I think it was last year, the year before, Red Hot Chili Peppers was playing. And like they didn't even have their guitars plugged into anything, like empty inputs. So like I'm skeptical that he can even play anyway. But if he can play, and that was him actually playing that solo, I'm actually pretty impressed because it was pretty good. But like I said, I am skeptical.
I'm also a little annoyed that he didn't have a guitar the whole time, and then they're like, "Here's a guitar," and then he walked around with it.
And then he did one solo.
He was like, "I'm done with the guitar."
And that's it. That's why I'm skeptical, though, of the solo in the first place. Like,
It looked like he knew what he was doing. I mean, like, his hands are moving around. It's better than like someone that's never touched a guitar trying to be like, "I'm..." You know?
Yeah. But I don't want to hate on Maroon 5 because they have some decent songs. Like that, and clearly, like they have a huge fan base, so there's people that like them.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the gyrating aside and taking the shirt off and stuff like that, like I didn't think the halftime show was awful by any stretch of the imagination. It might not have been what most people would want at the halftime show, but it wasn't terrible.
I think that I got two thoughts. I think there could have... The weird thing was, like, they had these guest rappers show up or whatever, and then they just, did a verse of a song and then just disappeared. Like, poof.
That's the craziest thing to me, that people pay to see someone, just talking into a mic, basically. Like, they're not doing any... Like, there's some rappers that have real talent.
Right. And they
that,
bring
like,
a band
with
them.
Can really put words together and, like... Like, the what they actually do is, like, impressive. But there's also another group of rappers that are basically just yelling into the mic and aren't really doing a whole lot. Like,
it's
kind of crazy
to
me.
It'd be like going to watch, like,
I don't know, whatever your favorite TV show is, happen live, which would be kind of weird because it's like, rapping is more of like behind the scenes production, and it's cool and I like it and I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I just can't for the life of me be like, I'm going to go watch this guy rap over the track because there's no band. It's just them hitting play of something that I can just like, I don't understand. I guess if you want to support your artist, that's cool. But
yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a little strange to me. There are some rappers though that I hear have like really, really good shows. Like one, for instance, is of course, J. Cole. Have you ever heard of J.
Cole?
Yeah, some
good songs. I like a few of his.
Yeah, he's one of the few rappers that I really like, and I heard his show is like incredible. So I think it just depends on the artist, but. You know, if you just got like five guys, one of which is actually a decent rapper, and four of them are just like, yeah, get it. Yeah, boy. Like, we were listening to this one song on the radio, and it was something about like getting on a plane, taking a sleeping pill, and then you wake up and you're wherever you're going. I forget what
that
the song's
good.
Called.
That sounds like a good song.
Yeah, he's like, I bring a bag of cash on the plane. I pop a pill, and I'm out like a light and sleep through the flight. Like, and then there's like this guy in the background, and his one part is, it's lit. Like, it's like super high pitch, and I'm like, how much money did this guy get paid to say, it's lit? I was like, sign me up.
That's like my dream drop, to be like a hype man for someone. But yeah, your boy.
So crazy. Yeah, he was like, he had two lines. It was like, yeah. And then it was, it's lit. Like, this guy's crazy.
I like a lot of silly rap music and stuff, but the newer stuff, I just don't understand a whole lot. I guess because I'm old, but some of the new stuff I do, like if it's rap and they're like, there's like a weird message or a story, that's cool. But if it's just like, hey man, I took a Xanax and copped on a plane and landed in LA, you're like, yeah, whatever the fuck.
this I'm telling you, this song is the dumbest song. I need to figure out, I'll throw it into the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be great. People are gonna be like, what? All right.
Yeah, but it's like the words, like he came, like he literally took a sleeping pill and then he woke up. He's like, man, I'm going to make a song about that.
Yeah.
Like, that's it's like Malibu's Most Wanted. That's $1 million song right there.
I wish I could rap. That'd be so fun. But I can't.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, you can't.
I definitely cannot. Maybe.
There, speaking of white rappers, though. There's a guy named George Watsky, and he's like this like young, like nerdy looking white kid, and he's got some real good songs, and he's like an incredible rapper. Like, it's always amazing to me when a guy can speak like auctioneer pace.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? There was that, what was that one song in that one rapper with the Lamborghini or what was he? Something yellow model chick, yellow bottle sipping, and then he goes,
it's a Chris
and
Brown
he goes
song.
Like into this like super fast paced rapping,
yeah,
like Busta Rhymes. Yeah, that dude, like, I don't know how he does what he does. Like, he speaks at such a pace.
I just looked this dude up, and
it's
he does
incredible.
Not look like a rapper at all, which is amazing.
He doesn't, but he's got a couple songs where he's like with this band, and they're like a funk type band, and it's like, it's really good. I'm telling you, this guy's pretty good. I don't think he's putting anything out anymore, which is kind of a bummer. I hate when there's like somebody that's really good and they like put out like a few things and then they're gone. It's like, dang. But he's one of the few good
white rappers.
Like, there's a handful.
Have you ever heard of Ritz?
There's a handful.
RITTZ. Yeah, look that dude up.
No,
he's awesome. He's my favorite rapper by far, and he's a white dude.
Yeah, I know. I know Eminem. I know Machine Gun Kelly, Mac Miller. I guess you could say Macklemore.
Oh, jeez.
And then who's that one dude? Riff Raff. Is that guy a rapper, or
is
he
that
just
crazy
a crazy
looking
guy?
Dude? Yeah, I think he's just a crazy dude.
Yeah. Dude, okay.
Rich is better than all.
But
of
that's
them.
Pretty
Rich
much
is better than all of them.
All right. I'll check him out. And then Eminem, of course. I don't know if I mentioned Eminem. But
I'm over him though. Did you see Chris D'Elia's Eminem
Freestyle?
No. Chris D'Elia is hilarious, though.
Yeah, you have to check it out. It's just so stupid. He does a great impression, like impersonate. He does a good job at like making fun of him, but also
capturing Eminem.
And even Eminem was like, "No, that was pretty funny. Like, that's pretty good."
That's hilarious. I'll have to check it out. Yeah, the last I heard of Eminem is him and Machine Gun Kelly were like having this beef.
Thing I remember as well. So until the Chris D'Elia fucking goofball thing.
Chris D'Elia is hilarious.
Every time I follow him on Instagram and every time I pull him up and I'll like watch a video, Allie will be like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "Chris D'Elia," and I'll just be like giggling to myself. She'll be like, "Ah, he's so annoying." Yeah. I'm like, "Yeah, he kind of is, but it's kind of funny though too."
Yeah, it's one of those like bro-y things. It's like Brendan Schaub. Like, it's like something that makes a guy laugh, but the wife just doesn't understand. Like, it's just
like, dude's kind of stupid, but he's not. I don't know. It's just like a show. He's just putting on an act, and it's funny to me.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, dude, it's crazy. Crazy times right now.
Crazy times. Wright State University still on strike for the, I'm going to guess, 18, 20 days.
Dude, I think you're spot on. I think Monday will be 19 something like that.
Nice.
Ryan and I were joking. If we had known it was going to go on this long, we would have made a drinking game where like each day we drink a number of beers that the strike's been going on.
Dude, that would be not a fun drinking game. Like, you guys could have made a way better drinking game than that.
Monday, we'd have to pound 19 beers throughout the day.
Crushing cases of beer next week, every day.
The whole student body should have been doing that, and it probably would have been over by now. Like, the news would be like... students are overdosing on alcohol because of faculty strike.
Wright State students like at been. W.O. Wrights drank no more alcohol after W.O. Wrights.
Yeah, it's crazy, though. Like, it's got, like... We talked about it on the podcast, and I was like, if it goes a month, like, people are going to start, like, freaking out, and we're, like, approaching
a serious month
almost. It's a real problem. And they're actually, like, starting to cancel certain classes now that they can't get covered.
Are
like,
they refunding
you're
everybody?
At the point now, I'm sure, but it's still awful. Like, there's some classes that students need to graduate this semester, and they're not being covered, and... Currently, the administration says they're planning on it acknowledging students' work that they've done and giving them credit. But what are they going to do if they didn't take the class? They're just going to give them the credit and let them graduate?
Yeah, like, then the whole degree is saaturated. Like, it's just, like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, like, what? Yeah.
Dude, that's weird.
I mean, it's one class, but, like, still, like, everybody else that got that degree had to take that class, and these people... didn't because the administration doesn't want everything to fall apart. Like,
oh, what a weird.
I don't think it quite works that way, but
you have to do something, though, right? I mean, because people have plans, right? Like, classes are only offered sometimes once a whole year.
Well, and I think, you're right. You got to do something, but at a certain point, I think you just got to, even if they gave a contract to get through the next. Like the rest of the semester or something like that. You gotta do something instead of just like putting up a brick wall and this is the terms. And But the one problem is like everybody on the board. So we got into all this financial trouble at Wright State with the last president, something Hopkins or something like that. I forget his name.
Something Hopkins.
But the board of trustees, everybody who votes on the decisions being made during that administration are still the same people that are on the board right now. So like they say they got rid of like a couple of the people who were the main problems and they got a new president or whatever, but it's still the same board.
It's still the same fucking, they all want money. It's the same problem.
Yeah. And the other problem is the board, it's so weird to me. You would think like if you were thinking of how a college should be run, like you might think we need an administration, we need a group of people working to organize all this and balance the books and blah, 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 blah. So that makes sense. But what's super, super weird, we talked about a couple podcasts ago that the university is made up collectively of a few different colleges. Right. You know, you've got the College of Science and Math, College of Liberal Arts, so on and so forth. To me, it would make sense that each college should vote to appoint certain board members. Like, they should choose the board members as a whole.
That would make sense.
But that's not the way it works. Originally, the board is appointed, I think, by the state government somewhere. The board of, you know, academics, blah, 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 in Ohio.
Okay.
And then once the board is constructed, the board members themselves vote on new board members to appoint board members. So the university as a whole, the colleges, have no say in who's on the board, which is very strange. And a lot of the people on this board in particular, I don't know how it works at other universities. I'm just learning about this at Wright State, you know,
right,
because of what's happening. But the people on this board in particular have jobs separate from Wright State in the community. So, like, one of the finance guys on the board, like, I forget the title, but he's board member of blah, 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 finance, whatever. He's the CEO of Wright Pat Credit Union, which is a big bank in the area. And it's similar case for all of the other board members. They have some other job. They're already wealthy and make plenty of money. And so they don't really have any skin in the game of what happens to Wright State one way or another.
It's an effect.
And so they're just interested in making money and then trying to save money and cut costs and get Wright State, you know, back on track financially. But they don't really have a clear picture of all of the things that go on at the university. I'm sure some of them know certain things and have an idea, but like for instance, in the biology department, if you've never been at a university and you've never seen what happens in the biology department and what primary research looks like and how that works and stuff like that, when you just look at the numbers on paper, you might make some decisions to balance the books and try and save money here, but you might be making decisions that are kind of short-sighted and aren't what's best for what's actually going on. So it's a real problem.
Dude, did you ever think that you would, I guess, not really be involved with, but know this much, like, the administrative process of a university?
No, that's for sure. I don't usually enjoy learning about administrative anything. But yeah, and I certainly never thought I'd be at a university that was striking, first of all, and be going through it and thinking about any of this stuff. So Andy actually finally came back.
You texted me that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he crossed the picket lines.
He's a scab. So, is that what they call them, scabs?
But so the thing is, last weekend, the administration voted on a new contract to propose to the union, and they pretty much gave the union everything they asked for except for the healthcare is still a big issue. So the one big issue with the healthcare, and they take a pretty sizable pay cut when you consider the benefits within the healthcare package by doing what the administration wants. So and the other big problem is the administration is asking the union to forfeit their right to negotiate future healthcare plans.
That's kind of shitty.
So even if they agreed to this healthcare plan, they also can change their healthcare at any time. They just have to give them 60 days notice.
That's not that good of a deal.
No, it's awful. And that's a big... So like, in my eyes, what the administration should do is make a contract where they have to get on this healthcare plan. That's fine. And many of them would possibly agree to that. But they still have the power to then negotiate at a later date on healthcare, not just we can change it at any time. And I think that would end everything if they did that, but they're not willing to do that.
Interesting.
Which seems like a huge issue. Like, if you put a clause in the contract that we can change this at any time, you're probably planning to change it.
Dude, that's totally like
future.
Is this what you want? Yeah, we'll change it though at the end of summer, but we're not going to tell you.
Like, we got this. We've got this in there, but like, we're not going to use it. Yeah. Like, we just have that there.
Just in case, like maybe the federal government gets involved, we can change it later, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Or like, you know, there might be a better healthcare plan that benefits you and we want the ability to just change it, like to help you.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. So that's the big issue. But the other option that the union had was to accept this last contract. They got a lot of wins. They, like I said, they got, you know, there was problems with being able to lay professors off, like at any point that the administration wanted. They got rid of that. Summer teaching was a big thing. They were like changing the organization of summer teaching. They got that thrown out of there. One of the big issues was like changing the workload. So that way, certain professors were spending way more time in classroom and getting taken away from things in the lab. They got that. So they had like all of these wins. So they could have came back, had those wins, checked them off. The union got a win over the administration. They saved the students. They saved the semester. And then what they can do is then go to the Academic Senate something. I forget the official name. I'm terrible with official titles, but there's this option where they can go and there's some Senate thing or whatever for academics where they can do a vote of no confidence, the professors. And if that Senate committee thing or whatever voted in favor of the union, all of the Board of Trustees would essentially be fired and they would appoint a new board.
Pretty good.
So that seems to me like the best option. Take the win. You don't get your health care, but keep on fighting through other avenues. But then you save students and you save the semester and keep things running and so on and so forth. So if I were the leader of the union, that would probably be my approach. But I'm just an innocent bystander. I'm just sitting over here on the side just watching it all play out.
Hook up muscles to fucking machines.
Yeah. So who am I to say? How could I make judgments on healthcare when I don't even have healthcare? So
yeah. What are you thinking?
Yeah. So, but that's one thing. So, you know, I was joking with you when I texted you, but I mean, healthcare in this country in general is pretty awful right now. So to have a halfway decent healthcare plan, you should probably consider yourself lucky.
Well, I don't know enough to really talk about it, honestly. So I don't really even know where I would begin. I have no idea.
Yeah. All I know is it sounds great to have it to where, like, one, probably pre-existing conditions, you should still be able to get some sort of health care.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's probably not great that you waited until you were dying of some disease to then think about health care or whatever. So there's, you know, two flip sides to that coin. But I think forcing people to pay for health care is probably also not such a great approach. And when that stuff came in, I was a subcontractor cleaning, not making barely making enough money to buy food and pay for rent. And then they voted this new law in when Obama was president that said you have to have a certain level of healthcare. And so I went on to the marketplace because at the time, I was like, well, I don't have health insurance, so it wouldn't be awful to have health insurance, but I don't have a lot of money to allocate to this. I'm not saving any money from my job. All of my money is going to bills and getting by. So I went on the marketplace and checked out what are the plans in my area. The cheapest thing I could find was called a catastrophic plan. And all that it did, it didn't pay for any prescriptions, any doctor checkups, anything like that. It didn't pay for anything. The only thing it did, it kicks in after I had spent like $10,000 of my own money. like if I was hit by a bus and I needed all these crazy surgeries or whatever. That's all it did. That plan cost $200 a month. At the time.
That's wild.
Which I did not have. I had a car that barely ran, and I was working on it myself to keep it running. And I didn't have $200 a month. So I basically paid the penalty at the time, which was much cheaper than the monthly cost of the insurance. But all that plan was doing was paying for other people's healthcare essentially, and giving still giving me none. So it's terrible healthcare. So that's definitely an issue, a major issue in this country, not just for Wright State professors, but all over the place. We have a really crazy healthcare system and insurance, you know, laws and stuff like that. And I don't know how to fix them. Like you said, I don't know enough about it to make a great judgment call, but I can tell enough that it's probably not the greatest.
Yeah. I would probably agree. I don't really know what the hell's going on out there. But it does seem like stuff is kind of messed up from time to time. So, yeah.
But I'm hoping in the short term or in the near future that I'll get some.
Don't worry, man. They'll take care of you eventually.
My healthcare plan.
Yeah, bro.
The gym,
I eat my vegetables. I take my vitamins. I go do my push-ups. Yeah.
That's probably one of the best healthcare plans, though. Honestly.
Yeah.
Your diet and your physical activity. Yep. You do that, you'll probably be
overcome,
all right.
Overcome, you know, your genetics. So hopefully you have those working in your favor as well. Hopefully you got good genes.
Yeah. But, and then in other depressing news, they just had some conference with all the climate scientists and stuff like that where they released like the...
Did they say it's fake?
I don't know how often they do it, but the annual report or whatever, they certainly did not say it's fake. Currently, the globe is still warming, and it's only going to continue to warm. And I think since like 2018 or whatever, our CO2 emissions in this country have gone up like, I think, 14, roughly around there, percent. So we're not making any changes to help it.
It's not going to get any better.
And to avoid all the like islands and cities that are at sea level from being swallowed by the sea, essentially, by 2050 or something like that, we have to reduce our emissions by 40%.
Oh.
So in the past couple of years, we've increased emissions, but we have to decrease emissions by at least 40% to try and save those cities.
Not
going to happen. So we've got a lot of work to do.
It's not going to happen.
And I know this year in Ohio, the weather's been super chaotic.
Dude, it's insane. So I'm not going to Madison this upcoming week because of the weather. So out in Seattle, Washington, they're getting blasted by a winter storm. They typically don't get a whole lot of snow there because they live off this like currents from you know, the tropical whatever, who knows, whatever it's called. Usually they just get rain and some flurries every now and then, but they're getting slammed right now. They're just canceling like, all the flights out of Seattle. So my collaborators,
that's crazy,
sent an email out yesterday like, hey, like we're not going to be able to get out of here for like a couple days, so we're just going to have to cancel everything and put it back a week or something. And my response was, wow, dude, this climate change is a real bummer, huh?
It's just wild. I mean, all over the place.
It's crazy.
The place. Like all the fires, all, you know, earthquakes.
For most of the winter, in Ohio, it's been warm, like at least 50s, 40s area. Like, don't need a heavy coat, don't need gloves or nothing. And we've had a ton of rainfall. And then we've had, like, collectively, it's been sparse, but collectively, we've probably had about 2 or 3 weeks of, like, snowfall, and, like, we had real extreme freezing temperatures. But that's it. We barely had a winter. And then when we did, it's been awful. Like crazy snowstorm or, like, super, super cold temperatures or whatever.
It's got a lot of flooding, though, right?
Because of this. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, mid last week it was just raining nonstop, and there were like flash floods everywhere, and it's insane. And I was watching because we had all that rain, and then it like got cold again.
Oh, that's always good.
And I saw an article saying like basically when it goes from like warm like that to like real quickly being cold, you end up getting like mini earthquakes or whatever from the ground, like getting shocked
it's
to
like
being cold or whatever. And then
in the water or in the soil, the ground.
Yeah. And then we had, I think up north, we had tornadoes.
What? During the winter?
Yeah. In February, we had tornadoes.
Dude, that's
in,
exactly
that like somewhere north.
Dennis Quaid movie or whatever.
Yeah. Day
after snow
tomorrow.
Tornadoes and shit.
It's just so crazy though that like there's still people that are going around saying it's fake, like, oh, it's not man-made, like it's just cycles and this is just the way it goes.
There's like two main problems with it. One is people think climate change means global warming. So when they're cold, they're like, well, it's still fucking cold out, so it can't be warming. And that's obviously not like the best way to approach changing climates. And then the second thing is like there's people like you said out there that believe there's not enough data yet to really show this.
Yeah. Well, and usually the problem when you look into it, those people usually have large shareholding stakes in energy companies that emit major levels of CO2. So, and then they have a lot of money in politics. So that's one,
dude,
that's another big problem. But
yeah, maybe we should be politicians.
No,
I'll do it.
No, thank
I'll
you.
Run. When's the next election? I'll run for Congress.
All right. I'll support you.
Senate.
I'll
Congress,
support you.
What am I running for?
I don't know. What makes the
District
most,
attorney.
What's the best?
Working Batman.
I don't know. I don't know, man, but it's pretty crazy. And it just seems to be that, like I said, I read that report and it's not getting any better. And then you got Trump tweeting out like, oh, Chicago's below 60, which first of all, it wasn't. It never got below. I don't think it ever got below like the teens or whatever, but the wind chill was minus 30 or whatever.
A lot of people died because they're stupid.
And he was like, yeah. Well, I don't think because they're stupid, but you got like homeless people or whatever, and then you've got like an old person, their power goes out, and they can't like get a hold of somebody or whatever.
Like I said, no, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I think like around 12 people or something like that died because of the extreme temperatures. But so Trump's tweeting out, he's like, oh, it's -60 in Chicago, like it's. It's so cold out here. Like, what the hell's going on with global warming?
Yeah,
we need
you
now more than ever. Like, what a freaking
dude,
bozo.
But, like, okay, so from the outside, like, knowing that climate change is a real issue and knowing, like, some of these scientific things, when he tweets stuff like that, I think it's hilarious. Even though it's, like, some people go by it and they're like, yeah, man, what the fuck? I think he's just messing with
people. It's hilarious,
but I feel like he's messing with like America.
I don't. I think he wants to. It's just aligning with his politics because he wants to decrease regulation and he wants to like get the economy booming. And one of the ways he's doing that is by opening up coal again and things like that, natural gas and all of that. So he's not gonna listen to that science. His own administration has put out reports year on
his
climate
own administration
change, recommending changes.
They've been putting out stuff again. Like, that contradicts almost everything he's been saying all the time. Like, all, even the generals, they're like, dude, we can't, like, pulling out of Syria is not a good idea. Like, here's why. And he's like, we're doing it anyways. I don't know, man.
But what are you going to do? It is kind of terrifying, though. I hate to be, I always try to be the optimist and believe in hope for the best and stuff like that. But the climate change is the one issue that I worry about. But here I am. I got a Jeep Wrangler outside that
gets
like
killing it.
15 miles to the gallon or something like that. So
I don't
it's hard. What are you gonna do?
Changes happen over time and it's hard to make quick changes, so there's a possibility that stuff could get fixed. Yeah, but who knows, dude. I don't know. I try to study stuff on other planets, so I don't really care.
Yeah. That's the big thing. Maybe one day we'll just leave this planet behind and blah 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 blah. Neil deGrasse Tyson's argument, though, is like, if you're gonna go to another planet and terraform it so that way we can like get out of here because things are going wrong, why wouldn't you just figure out ways to
cheaper.
Terraform and engineer this planet?
Be way cheaper.
Yeah. But I think both. Do both.
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Because you also have the other issue of like overpopulation, and nobody seems to be slowing down on reproducing. So we're going to need more space eventually.
Yeah. Going to meet our carrying capacity at some point, and it's not going to be good.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I think we're already there for the most part.
Oh, we would be if like, we didn't engineer a bunch of shit to like keep us going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if we just had the natural environment, no like technology and stuff like that, we'd be hurting right now. But that's the scariest thing, though, too, about the climate change is agriculture.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's huge impacts on growing food and stuff like that. And what are we going to do? We're going to, like, I guess we're hoping that we, like, get, like, lab-grown meat now and stuff. And
dude, I'm not eating that
shit. I don't know. I start having mental flashes of... have you ever seen that movie Snowpiercer?
Is that where they're on the train? No, I have not.
And they were like, this isn't a spoiler, but they were like grinding up crickets and stuff and like creating these like nutrition bars or whatever. So these people were eating these things and had no idea that they were just eating crickets this whole time.
Ah, protein's so, like, protein.
That was their only source of nutrition was crickets that they had left on this train.
Dang, dude.
But actually, I think that's a big thing now. Like, people are turning more and more to insect protein as, like, a sustainable source of protein.
Do you know anyone that's doing that?
I don't personally know anyone, but I know it's a real thing. Like, you can get, like, bars and stuff that are, like, insect protein and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I'm not doing that.
Have you ever, do you ever watch, like, Anthony Bourdain and, like, cooking
I've stuff seen
like
some
that?
Of them. I haven't watched, like, a whole lot of them, but, like, him and other guys.
Have you ever heard of, have you ever heard of Noma?
Is that the fake meat stuff?
No, that's my guess. There's a, I think it's consistently been rated, like, the number one restaurant, like, in the world or whatever. And it's in, I think it's in Sweden or something like that. Some country like that. But this, it's like super revolutionary chef or whatever, this guy that owns this place. And it's like booked out like months in advance. Like if you want to go eat there, like you have to call ahead several months,
dude,
like
no
plan
way.
Your trip. But the way they do it, it's like a several course like tasting menu, essentially. Like they come out and give you like two bites of each thing, and it's like each thing like blows your mind. And like the way the chef's philosophy at this place is that he wants to everything he makes is ingredients that were like taken from the local environment. So he's always wanting to find flavors in weird ingredients that are like from that area. So they don't have lemons there, apparently, where the restaurant is. So if he wants a citrus flavor, he has to find that flavor somewhere else.
That's so weird.
In the natural environment. And I guess, apparently, and he learned this from some other country that does this, certain types of ants have a citrusy flavor if you
I believe that,
eat them.
Yeah, sure.
So that's like he uses that in one of the dishes as a flavoring, like get that citrus flavor in the meal. He puts ants in there and stuff like that. So it's like he's got all these weird, crazy dishes. But Ari Shaffir, we talked about him. He's got a podcast where him and one of his comedian buddies or something like that ate at Noma, and he recounts the whole thing. He took notes on each thing that they ate, and they like break it down. So if you want to learn about Noma, check out Ari's podcast on that. It's a really cool one. But they even say, like, you look at what it is and you like read the description of it and like the ingredients and you're like, oh, this is crazy. But then you eat it and your mind's blown because it's just like so delicious and you can't believe you're eating what you're eating. And
yeah, dude.
It sounds like an experience, you know, but I think it's like, you know, your meal's over like a grand like that. So you got to be making some bank.
That makes sense, though. I mean, food and smells and taste, I mean, they're all just chemicals, right? So if you find something that makes it, you're good. Like, not really a great example, but someone in my lab, they grow a Shulinella microbe. It's a bacteria, but whatever it's growing on or whatever it's interacting with, whatever, it smells like sauerkraut, like, all the time. And
I love sauerkraut.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't smell too bad once you get used to it in the lab, but when they open up those refrigerators, it's like, what in the hell is this?
Yeah. Dude, that's a problem with a micro lab is the incubator. That thing smells awful.
Yeah. It smells like auger and shit.
It's like everything that everybody's trying to avoid growing in their fridge. That's what you're growing in an incubator, and it's all piling up.
But that makes sense, though, the food. I mean, like, they're just compounds. So if you can find something else that makes the same compound, then it's the same deal in the end.
But it's like with the making a good dish, though, like you got to, it's not just the flavor. You got to take into account the texture and like how you're combining all these things and the way you're preparing it and like try and get creative with all that stuff. There's another show on Netflix. Speaking of great Netflix shows, and we can maybe end on this. We like to tie it up. We like to like
back.
Talk about something at the beginning and bring
it
back.
It's like a movie. Like, and then at the very end, you're like, oh, Jesus, I get it now. That's how our podcast is working. Yeah.
We plan this out.
Yeah, we're definitely, I got notes. And notes.
Yeah, I got notes in my blacksmith here.
I got a storyboard behind me.
But so Joey's been watching a show called Bon Appetit.
Whoa.
And basically what they do is it's a cooking show, but they try to infuse weed in every part of the dish. Obviously this is a California-based show.
It doesn't have to be.
But it's actually a good show. It's pretty hilarious. Like, they get these chefs on there that, like, some of them have experience with cooking with cannabis. Some of them are just regular chefs, and they have to, like, try and figure it out. But it's hilarious because, like, they'll go through, like, how they're creating the menu and what they're going to make. And then you watch them prepare it all. And then they get to the part where, like, they have this party and they invite all these people to come and eat the food that they made. And it's so funny. You just like watch them getting more and more stoned throughout the show.
Every bite.
Everything's got weed in it. And like, it's awesome. So funny. But that's a pretty good one to check out. And I guess I just found this out, but Ohio has now legalized medical marijuana.
That's the gateway bill.
And yes, it's the gateway bill to But there's actually there's like shops popping up now, dispensaries and stuff. And I guess you can there's one in the Oregon district. Nice. And I guess you can get your medical marijuana card now in Ohio. Nice.
I think they're trying to do it in Tennessee,
which is pretty interesting.
It's just such a good way to make a lot of money for a state. So I don't know they're not all doing it yet, but whatever.
It's weird here though, because like they got the bill, and the people who like wrote the bill, like they made it to where the people growing, the people have the rights to grow it, is like six or seven like big business owners in the area.
I remember that.
So it's not like, so it's not like open to where like your local farmer can just decide they want to go in the business. Right. It's like only a few people have the rights to actually grow. And then also, there's like part of the bill that you can't, the patients using the marijuana, they can't smoke it. So they can do everything with it, but smoke it. It's still illegal to smoke it. That's so stupid. I guess it's a health thing. Like actually burning something and inhaling it is not necessarily good for you.
That makes sense, I guess.
So yeah, but it also doesn't. Like they sell cigarettes at every gas station here.
I was trying to make a freaking break. I don't know.
That's the one thing I hate. Like I believe in limited government and like I hate the idea of trying to save people from themselves. Like I believe in regulating things so that way people aren't causing harm to others. But if you want to cause harm to yourself, that's completely up to you. Who are you to govern someone else's choices for their own body and safety? Like that's so silly to me. But yeah, so it's weird. They can do edibles, they can do vaping, they can do oils and all these other things. But the one thing that is that breaks the camel's back is you can't light it up.
Did you make a blunt with that?
And
get out! You're going to jail, dude. Can't do that. No blunts allowed.
Yeah,
that's wild. I didn't know that they passed. I know a few years ago when I was there, they were trying to pass it. Something probably similar to that, but it was only like three companies could profit from it, and everyone was like, "Nope." Yeah.
So I think they've slightly modified it, and then they finally got it passed.
Cool,
but
it's better than nothing.
But yeah, it is cool. It's a step in the right direction. I guess if it's out of the bag now, I am for the states legalizing marijuana, but I'm also for decriminalizing many drugs. I think having a law preventing someone, like I said, causing harm to yourself is not something that the government should govern, in my opinion. I think that they should govern crime. So like, you know, what are the problems associated with using certain drugs? It might increase the likelihood of someone going out and driving while intoxicated, or it might increase someone doing some crime. But those things are already criminal offenses. So if you use that drug and then go do something that's a crime, punish that. Don't punish the use of some substance that you have some weird problem with.
I completely kind of weird agree. I just think that whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it until it hurts someone else. Then that's when it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, once you start infringing on someone else's life and someone else's rights, then that's where you draw the line. But outside of that, I thought America was the home of the brave and the land of the free. So,
yeah, dude, totally.
Yeah. So let's end on that.
Okay.
Oh, man. So, yeah. This has been another episode of the Beaker Report. We're glad you guys are still listening in. I can't believe there's still people even downloading this thing. So 34 of these in a row.
Keep on keeping on,
can't
guys.
Believe it. So we'll be back next week. I guess we don't have any scheduling issues then. You're
I'm
not
good.
Going to
I might be gone
Madison
the following
anymore.
Week, but I don't know the dates yet. But we'll be back.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll be back next week with another episode. And if you're just listening in for the first time, we've got a fantastic Instagram page. It's at the Beaker Report. Check it out. We also have a website, www.thebeakerreport.com. So that's pretty much it. And we'll be back next week. Boom.